Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Our Lord is returning soon. The King is coming. The King is coming. We will meet him in the air. And this is going to happen all of a sudden, without warning, abruptly. And people are going to be amazed. It will astonish every soul. None of us have been raptured to this magnitude before. I know of testimonies where people were transported, but that doesn't happen. Most, even a person that was transported, I know a guy that I believe he was transported, and this is nothing like what the rapture will be. Nevertheless, it's got to happen. Everything in the Bible has a purpose, and it's well thought out by God. He don't just do stuff just to do it. He do it because it's important. He's honoring sowing and reaping, judgment, justice, and he's removing people out of the way. Just like with Lot. That was a miracle. Angels guided Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, they grabbed him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand. They were taken out, except they walked. We're going to be taken out by the angel completely. And this is at the door. And you know me, I like to work until I can't. Because Jesus said, occupy till I return. And there's going to be people left here. And many people, if you think about humanity, people are going to come to the Lord after this. The people that didn't get in the revival before the rapture, there will be one after the rapture. It will astonish everybody. It will take every soul by surprise. And it will be the talk of the town. And it will be a global event. And all the graves will open, and people that were dead in Christ, their graves will be open and empty. And everybody that was not in Christ, their bones were still lie in their caskets. And their ashes will still be in their urns. But those who love God, those who were in him, they will be raptured. And I thank God that this is the case. God does things right. And he's not ashamed of those who are not ashamed of him. And he's going to rapture his people. And he's going to take his people who are strong in him and those who live for him. Even those who are weaker than others, if they stayed in the love of God, they'll be raptured. If they lost their purpose like the five foolish virgins did, they will not be raptured. And but the bridegroom is coming. And those that are in him, those that are in obedience to him, and they're not in disobedience against him, they will be raptured. And this is biblical. I can't go beyond the scriptures. If you find a scripture, it's going to happen that way. That's just the way it is. And the scriptures is perfection. All scriptures are perfection. And we have to honor what God said in the first place. That's the only way we'll get to know him, is to honor his word and obey him. Now, the Lord loves us. He cares about us. He did everything in our favor. He even manages the reaping of man's sowing to guide him back. When we involve God, God has our backs. He loves us. And the rapture is no different. And there will be people that didn't know better and they had poor teaching. There are reasons people are going to be left. And those that humble themselves and look to the Lord, they're going to survive it. But those who are in defiance against him, playing with the world, they will be deceived. Remember, the Lord said that he would send strong delusion to those who they didn't have the love of the truth. And That's very important for all of us, to have the love of the truth. And I'm going to read it in 2 Thessalonians 2. I like to read it because sometimes, you know, you trying to remember a scripture, you can throw it out of context if you're not careful. And I'm not above doing that. But I don't mean to. If I've ever done it, and if you've caught something I've said that was not quite accurate, I didn't mean to do that. And it can happen. So, and I remember a few incidents where I did. But, you know, when I said that Jonah got there just in time in Nineveh to warn the people just before the Lord would do judgment. Well, Jonah said in 40 days, but he did have to be there in order for it to be 40 days. And he spoke that by the Lord. He said in 40 days, this God is going to burn the place up. He's going to judge it. And I just like to clarify things if I catch it. But, you know, when I listen to the word that I've done, you know, I listen to them to make sure I do things the right way. But nevertheless, when you're reading the scriptures, you can give a complete thought, and then people can bank off of it. They can go forward. Now, Colossians chapter 2, it gives us a clear view of what's going on in the end times. This is Paul saying in chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that day of the Lord, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And the Lord, he does things right. And he gave us clues. But the day of, we have to be looking for our King. Every generation has to be looking for our King. And if you think about it as a family, if your father was looking for the King's return, that set the pattern for the next generation, which looks for the King's return. Every generation needed to be looking for the King's return. It's wisdom, and it worked. If the Lord said, well, for 2,000 years, I'm not going to come, then a lot of people would have fell in sin, because people have to have hope. We have faith, but hope is also important. You have to know that the King is coming, and you don't know when. And he's coming to catch people off guard that won't listen. And those that are wise, they busy themselves in the Lord and they stay safe. That's wisdom. And every generation needed to be looking to the Lord. Here it is 2,000 years later, and I'm looking for the Lord, because the Lord put this in the hearts of our predecessors. We're made in the image of God. And parents, you know, before Isaac was born to Abraham, the Lord told him to be perfect. He said, be perfect, for next year you'll have a child. He had a year to become perfect in the Lord in all of his ways, so that, and guess what? Isaac laid his own life down. So what we do as parents will affect our children. I didn't say might affect our children, will affect our children. If we endure and break through, our children will too. They'll be more apt to. But if you live a cursed life, you're leaving hurdles for them to jump over. Hopefully somebody will get to them, and maybe the other parent that they have may be stronger and have enough spiritual wealth on their life to help the child break through the curses and the hurdles set before them by those sloppy parents. And I say sloppy because people live haphazardly without understanding that they are doing something. Every action you do does something. So it's important for us to be looking to the Lord. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know, before any great move of God, from Adam to Revelation, every time God gets ready to move, he gets rid of idolatry. He wants everything that's not like him to be separate and known for being of the world. If it's of the world, he wanted to be known as the world. He wants it to be a clear understanding that I'm not with this mess that they say I'm in. Just like with Gideon, he told Gideon to go turn his father's altar over, go tear it down in the grove. And Gideon did it at night, so they wouldn't kill him. But his dad stood up for him. He said, if Baal be a god, let him plead for himself. You know, sometimes people get into things and they know it's wrong. From the beginning, they know it's wrong. And God's not going to do a great move of God through a man and his daddy got this statue out there standing up. You know, people that want wrong, they're looking for some excuse. So God's going to, he got this. And I look around the world, I see things forming. You know, there is a great falling away. People that didn't love God, they proven that they don't. You know, God, things that even on the national level, Donald Trump said that he was going to make America great again and drain the swamp. Well, and he did things that was working. People were going back to work. People were doing better. The news media attacked him. And the swamp attacked them. See, people see things so variedly. And I know that there's a lot of people that didn't like Trump. But there's also a lot of people that don't like Jesus. And the way of truth is evil spoken of. So if Jesus is spoken evil against, people that will do his will be too. And whether you like Trump or not, he's the only president I ever heard had preachers doing the inaugural prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know of any other president that did it, and I've been in politics or, you know, paying attention to politics ever since Jimmy Carter. You know, Jimmy Carter was president, and I started watching the inaugurations and paying attention about who to vote for and following things. But none of them in my lifetime ever did that. And whether you like Trump or not, he did that. If a person did something right, he did it right. And if a person is not perfect, who is? But I believe that he tried to do, you know, he tried to make America the way it should be. But the thing is, all the things, good things he did, and the things he did for black people, you know, the media didn't publish that. He did something that no other president had done. They kept that out of the loop. So the swamp, when the light comes in and the rebel rouser that Trump is, he don't back down. And they attacked him. The owners of the media attacked him. The rogue politicians that's taking bribes and in all kind of evil, they hated him on both sides. See, the Trump, some people will say, well, the swamp is the Democrats. But there was some Republicans in the swamp too. But I tell you this, everything that worked against what he was trying to do is exposed for what it is. Why? Because God is about to return. Things are stirred up now. People are divided, either for or against the way of Christ. And when you see these kind of things happening and forming, and people that love God are in love with God and they do God's word. People that's playing church, they're known for it, and they cause other people not to go to church. And then there are those that are devoted, and they continue to go to church. And they continued to serve God, and they stayed in the ways. They're like the sons of Zadok. They didn't change when the kings changed. You know, when Adonijah came up and when Absalom came up, they didn't side with the enemy. They did right. The sons, and they stayed true when the kings of Israel and Judah failed. The sons of Zadok stayed true. and they were honored by God. And they have a special place in the temple. Now, so what we have to do is the same things that the sons of Zadok did. We have to stay true to what's right, no matter who likes it or don't. And when people listen to the news, just like, you know, what I continue reading, it says some more things that, but the focus is not Trump. It's the actions of what's right, and then the actions of what's wrong. And God is He always chooses the light, and He always do a division before He does an action that's notable, such as the rapture. He said, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, I was always taught that the son of perdition would be revealed before the Lord touched feet on the ground. And I have to do my research. I'm going before the Lord about whether he'll be revealed before the Lord catches us away in the air. And I don't believe he will be because of the next few verses. He said, verse 4 gives more description about the, it sheds more light on verse 3. I read verse 3 again. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time." Look at verse 6. "And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Now that sounds like the church. And some people will say, "Well, I was taught that was the Holy Spirit." Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit works through the church. The Holy Spirit was always here moving on the earth, but he always uses people to do the work. It's people who look to the Lord. The Holy Spirit guides them in the truth, and then the Lord works with our authority. God don't just, he don't do things without man. Ever since man fell, God do things through men. And you have to understand that. So, and who will be taken out of the way? The church. And this is the way I was taught. And I believe that part of what I was taught was true. And is true. "The mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Now when the Lord comes back, he's going to come in his glory, and his enemies will be destroyed. But when he comes and meet us in the air, he's going to take us out of harm's way. See, and people say, "Well, the church don't go through the tribulation." And I know what they're trying to do, but their teaching is not perfect. The way that things were divided up is not perfect. Grace will end when Jesus come and touch the ground, because people will be getting saved in the times in the 7-year tribulation. Even Israel will come back to the Lord in those days, and Gentiles will too. And the angels are going to fly in the air and tell people not, they're going to shout, and it'll be audible, "Don't take the mark of the beast," in the nations where they're doing these things. So this is important to know. Grace is still active. And the way the Lord showed me, he taught me that grace ends when Christ comes back. And it continues with those who had it before he touched ground. Now, the tribulation, we do have tribulation. World War I is tribulation. World War II is tribulation. The Spanish Inquisition is tribulation. We've always had tribulation, but guess what? It just didn't come from God. That's the wrath of man and Satan. And Satan and his people push back. They work against the body of Christ. They hate the body of Christ. Some by deception and some by rebellion. So we have tribulation, but it's not merited. We didn't earn it. But the great tribulation is merited tribulation, because God is going to judge the world for giving the church tribulation. So they meriting the tribulation that's coming, not the church. So God is going to move his people out of the way and destroy those who destroyed his people and worked against his people. And we don't need to be here for that, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels moved Lot and his family out of the way. They got raptured, so to speak. They had to leave in a hurry. They just didn't disappear. So Noah the same way. He didn't merit dying in the world. He was trying to save people, save humanity and the animals. So God had him build an ark. He obeyed. He built the ark. And he was spared, and the rest died, because they merited the tribulation. Tribulation, the judgment of God causes will not come. So we all understand that. So the way people have taught things, the church won't go through the tribulation while the church is in tribulation. And there's a viable war against the church now. And so it's not like you can just sit around and nobody's going to bother. If you do something for God, the fight is there. And I had to fight. I had to learn to fight. Even when I didn't know how to fight, I had to get it figured out. And the Lord helped me learn to fight. And many of my testimonies is about how I learned to fight and what was going on in my life. I was living the tribulation. But it just didn't come from God. Now this tribulation, God is going to judge the evil of men and their choices. And some people will say, well, he'll come back in the middle of the tribulation or the 7 years. Or the beginning of the 77. However he do it, it's going to be done right. And I've listened to others, because this is why. I was taught the way I was taught. I was always taught pre-tribulation rapture. Okay. But nobody ever gave. I didn't know anybody that taught it the other ways. Post-tribulation or mid-tribulation rapture. I didn't know people that. I just didn't know the ministers who taught it until I listened to Irvin Baxter. And when he said the church would go through the tribulation, I almost turned the channel on him. But I said, wait a minute, hold on. I never heard him out. And how can you judge somebody if you don't hear him out? So I listened. He brought a lot of facts that made me dig deeper and ask questions. That's when I found out that grace ends when Christ returns and his feet hit the ground. I learned that from the Lord. Anytime people are getting saved, there's grace. It didn't say that grace will, if grace ended, then nobody would get saved in the tribulation. And Jesus said you're going to have tribulations. But it's just not from God. We get it from the world. And we have authority over all the power of the enemy. So if you learn to fight and use your authority, you can win. And you can survive it. And you can even thrive in it. And sometimes when people, I like when people are at odds with me, and because I'm going to love them, and it gives them a chance to see the light. So it don't bother me when people don't agree with me. I want to love people, and I stand firm. I don't compromise. I'm going to do what's right, whether it's popular or not. And I don't want, I'm not the kind that try to bilk people out of money. I don't do all that foolishness. My whole theme is to do the word of God and live for him every day. And I want to win as many souls as possible to Jesus. And I don't care what I suffer to do it, because a soul is worth more than my luxurious life. I got a luxurious life coming. But whatever I need to do here on earth, that's what I'm going to be busy doing. Even if it's not uncomfortable. I build engines to buy radio time. Because church people not going to help. They're not going to give you money for that. If it's not their ministry, they're just not going to do it. Now, some people will. Few people will. But I knew how, I've been going to church all my life, and I know how people do things. And when the Lord gave me the assignment to do the radio, I knew I was going to have to work on the side to do it because I didn't have the money. And I don't mind building engines and transmissions, and then I have to stand behind those things. Just because I get paid from an engine job don't mean it's over. I may have to go back and do something else to it. And thank God, and, you know, I stand behind my work. But it's all for the, for, you know, sometimes you, Paul had to build tents. Now, some preachers won't do anything if they don't, if nobody's contributing to it. But I'm not that way. I know people, my message, I saw how my message, the things God gave me to say was not always received. So if pastors didn't receive it, how will the flock receive it? So if I'm going to do this, I have to do the work. I had to cross bridges. I had to do things to get to the point where I could pay for the radio time. It's not free. Now, with all that being said, we do go through tribulation, and we do have a pushback from the world. And then there's the misunderstanding of Christians. Christians don't always get on board with what God is doing either. They have their opinions and false teaching and whatever it is. Whatever, sometimes people are just important. The only thing that's important to them is how much God is going to bless them. And some people really want to know God, but they have problems and they're distracted. So you can't sit around waiting on people to get on board with your vision. You have to work it. So if in this world you're going to have persecutions and tribulations and all forms of problems. Even pastors have to deal with people that they don't want to grow up, and they become a distraction. And it, you know, if you don't look to Jesus, it'll absorb all the hope you got. So that's the world we live in. We have tribulation, so we're going through the tribulation as we speak. But it just didn't come from God. It's not an attack from God, it's an attack from Satan. But he's going to move us out of the way, and he's going to attack those who attacked us. Now, verse 8, and then will that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So God's going to send them strong delusion. Well, verse 11 says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, these are the same folks that's trying to stop you from doing God's word. These are those who are diabolical. These are the lukewarm preachers that alter God's word. Their names are erased out of the book of life because they change God's word. I didn't write this. That's what's going to happen if they don't repent. And I know that, you know, God deal with deception differently than he do rebellion. You'd have to, you, if you're going to follow God, you got to become adjustable. You got to ask enough questions till you get the right understanding. You can't just bank off a teaching that you're in love with. I was in love with the pre-tribulation teaching, but there were some holes in it. And Irvin Baxter and Pastor Lankford, they helped me see things in a greater way. Now, I took it to the Lord in prayer, and I asked questions. And the Lord gave me some better answers. We can be so in love with the doctrine that we don't see the truth of God's word. But the Holy Spirit is right here with us to guide us in all truth. So it really don't make sense for, all right, God's coming back to judge the world. Why would his people be here? And he the one who came up with the rapture. And he showed me a vision of, I know it's going to happen. So it makes sense now. He's going to move his people so he can judge the world. And he keeps telling me he's ready to do so. So I keep doing all I can do before he do it. I want as many recordings on my website to be there for people who are left here so they can have somewhat of an understanding and they can learn to search to seek the Lord and be guided by the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, he don't run from Satan. So, some of the doctrines that we're in love with, we have to go back and look at what Jesus said. It's just like my pastor was saying yesterday. You have to look at Jesus first. Compare what you believe to what Jesus said, to what Jesus did, to his character, to his ways. And you'll come back with a greater understanding. Now, verse 11. For this cause God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Remember, the Lord is the one who wished we were hot or cold. He don't want lukewarm people. He wants people that love, only people that love him and love what's right are going to hell. He loves everybody, but he's not going to put up with lukewarm foolishness. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is out.